Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Right, my family, 38 after 4, we're crossing over to a quick ad break. But before then, we absolutely look forward to welcoming on the line Cara Levy, who joins us, my family, from Petco. And this is with regards to an incredible collaboration project together with the City of Tshwane, where they are doing as a recycling. But, you know, it's elements and elements of recycling, and we get to hear about that project in the next 2 minutes. My family, separation at source project in a public place, and it has gone extremely well. This is like a community report back, so to speak, but also just to keep the family aware and communities aware, my family, of some of the work that is happening and some of the work that you can take part of. And so we look forward to that conversation just after 20 before the top of the hour. On the other side of 5 o'clock, my family, I'm telling you, it's times unusual. Let me tell you, it is times unusual. We welcome Desmond Tabede, who's technical services advisor at Mycanics, also a consultant at Mycanics. And Desmond is going to be answering a very complex question: why do cars cough in winter? Let's take a quick break. We welcome Great Conversations, my family, taking us to the top of the hour.
Get your daily bread, but also your faith in practice. It's 657 AM. The sounds of your life.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
I'm really looking forward to the details of this one, my family. 41 minutes after 4, that is your time, 19 before the top of the hour, in case you're rushing somewhere like I did earlier on today. I really hope you're making it on time, you know. And yeah, welcome and good afternoon to you, my family. The line is buzzing and open. I'm receiving blessings. 0826572729 coming through. That is our WhatsApp line. And right now we're connecting with the marketing manager for Petco, the longest standing producer responsibility body. They've been around for longer than some of us. Quite a long while. My family, and Cara Levy, who is marketing manager, joins us to share with us some of the details of their partnership together with the City of Tshwane regarding the Tshwane Separation at Source project. And before, you know, I misconstrue, before I make errors, let's welcome Cara to tell us a little bit more about this amazing, amazing work that they've done together with the City of Tshwane. Cara, good afternoon, and thank you so much for giving us your time.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely lovely stuff. Cara, you know, Petco and the City of Tshwane have partnered, and in fact, Petco is partnering with other municipalities, but this particular project, let me get that marketing excitement. Where are you at right now? What are your thoughts around what you've done, even before we get to understand the core of what Petco does?
So what we've done, which we are really excited about, is that we've sponsored 12 large color-coded bins, which are for recycling, and the bins are actually made from recycled content, which is really great because it's not only a place to actually collect recyclables, but it also means that there's an end use for those materials. If you think about the recyclable packaging, it goes through the chain and it can actually be made into something new. So we partnered with City of Tshwane and Fountain Valley Resort, and there will be these 12 large colored bins, and basically the bins will be to collect cans, plastic, paper, and glass packaging waste. And this will not only increase awareness, but also hopefully help with behavior change for people that visit this resort.
Mm-hmm. Now, Petco, Cara, is mainly responsible for environmental sustainability. Tell us a little bit more about the kind of work that you do and the mandate that you carry in what you do.
So we're what's called a producer responsibility organization. Mm-hmm. And a producer, as per the law in South Africa, is somebody that places packaging onto the market. So it could be a brand owner, a retailer, or an importer. Mm. And there's been legislation that's recently been put in place that basically says that if you place packaging on the market, you have to make sure that it gets collected and recycled. So what PETCO does is an organization. We're a membership-based organization, and our members are those producers, and they pay us a fee based on the amount of packaging they place on the market. And we then put various initiatives in place to make sure that it is collected and recycled. So, yeah, we have various initiatives. It's outreach and awareness initiatives. It's actually supporting with infrastructure, as we've done here. We guide packaging design to make sure the packaging is actually designed to be recycled, which I think is not something that a lot of people are aware of. When packaging is designed, it can be designed in a way that's either compatible with infrastructure in South Africa or not, which means that it goes to landfill. So we help our members to make sure that packaging can actually be recycled again. So for example, if you're looking at if you're looking at like a cool drink bottle, for example, or like a dishwashing liquid bottle, if it is clear, it means it can actually be completely circular and be turned into that new bottle again. So yeah, design's really important.
So I see that this particular project that we're actually talking about today is called the Tshwane Separation at Source Project. I have a funny feeling that means something. Of course it does. Can you just give us the actual details? What does that mean in the broader scheme of what you do as an organization?
So basically what separation at source means is that people have the opportunity to separate their recyclable packaging from waste. And when you think about the source, it's the source at which that kind of waste would be generated, or that your post-consumer, i.e. when you finish dealing with that packaging, that is generated. So for example, if you're at home, or if you're at an office, or if you're at school, if you're separating at source, it means that you're actually separating that valuable recyclable packaging from non-recyclable waste.
Sure.
And why that's really, really important is because clean recyclable packaging has a higher value. So, for example, for waste pickers, if they collect clean recyclable material, they are then able to sell it at a higher value at what's called a buyback center, which is a place that buys the recyclable packaging, and it means that less water, less resources need to be used at the actual recycling plant to clean those materials. So clean and recyclable materials that have been collected at source are of higher value. And I mean, if you think about, for example, a cool drink bottle, you know, people don't want to be drinking out of a murky gray bottle, for example. And so if you keep keep that bottle clean, it becomes really clean pellets, for example, and then it can become a new bottle or a new jar much easier.
Sure. So where does the actual recycling of the recycled material actually happen? Not on site, obviously. So after people or whoever individuals have then separated at source, PETCO would then obviously organize logistics to get that to a site where the recycling happens, yeah?
Exactly. So there's kind of different ways that it can happen. In this case, they will be taken by a collection company to a buyback center or sorting area, where they will be stored, and they are usually what's called baled, which means that they're squashed into kind of big blocks so that they can be transported easily. I mean, think about a whole bunch of loose bottles or loose cans, for example. It's not as easy to transport as if all the air is squashed out of them. So that's another thing that we say to people. If you are collecting recyclable packaging, make sure that you can always flatten it, put the lid back on, or squash things, because you're basically transporting air otherwise. So it will be baled and then sold onto recycling plants. And we are actually really lucky. I mean, what PETCO has done is that we've supported the building of infrastructure in South Africa. And it's something we can actually be really proud of, because when China closed its doors to accepting recyclable packaging or packaging at all in 2018, we were actually okay in South Africa. We were one of the only countries. So, yeah, to answer your question, we've got the infrastructure in South Africa. We've got plants in Cape Town and Joburg. And there are new plants. There's a new plant being built in KZN. And so there's new infrastructure being built all the time, which I think a lot of people don't know. We can be quite proud of what we have here.
Sure. Tell me, Cara, when you look, even if it's not a scientific study, just by observation, when you observe, you know, the different metros that you're working with or that you would like to work with, and you look at just a consumer, individual, civilian behavior, what are some of the reasons why we have become tolerant of of litter? Let me put it that way, because I think we have.
Yeah. And I agree with you. I mean, littering is a huge problem that we face. I think that, unfortunately, with service delivery in some metros in the country, you know, there's a lot of people that actually haven't been provided with even basic black bins to dispose of their litter. And so it's a challenge, because how can you expect people to sort when they don't even have places to dispose of their litter, you know? So I think, unfortunately, and I mean, I heard of a term when I just started out in this industry, and it was called litter blindness. And I think that, unfortunately, when you see it all the time,
become desensitized.
It becomes just something that you live with. And so something that, you know, we can all really try to do better is to throw less things out of windows, put things in bins, not drop things on the floor. And, you know, I think when you drop things in the street, people also don't realize that those wastewater drains eventually also lead to the ocean. So I think that there's that just connection and awareness that a lot of people aren't aware of.
Sure.
And I think that we have various challenges in South Africa. It's sometimes not a priority for people to dispose of their rubbish responsibly.
No, absolutely.
Other challenges.
No, 100%. I do think that we have become desensitized to litter, and maybe, streets filled with litter. And as you say, I think you make a very good point that a lot of us are walking around with serious burdens around our shoulders. And it might just be that to keep the street clean, you know, is like the bottom of my priorities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But perhaps then what that does is give an opportunity, you know, for organizations like yourselves and Metro across the country to maybe invest, as you currently are doing, invest more in social education around the matter?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a lot of education and awareness initiatives that we do. We are on WhatsApp for people that maybe don't have a lot of data. We're on all the social media platforms as Petco Official, P-E-T-C-O Official. And I think that what a lot of people don't know is that you can actually make money from recycling.
That's
so when
fantastic.
You're actually collecting recyclable material, there are buyback centers in most metros where people can actually take their recyclables and actually bolster the money that they earn.
Sure.
So if you're not doing it for the environment or, you know, for climate change, which are two huge drivers for recycling, you know, keeping waste out of landfills. We've got a massive landfill crisis in South Africa. Our landfills are like most of them are full and overflowing. Nobody wants a new landfill site on their doorstep. And where does the waste go? This is actually material that's been built to last, or packaging, sorry, not waste, but it's materials that have been built to last. For example, things can go become new packaging, and people just don't know the value of it, and know that if they take it to a buyback center, they can actually make money from it.
Sure.
So I encourage people to also have a look for buyback centers and to take it there.
Yeah. I really like that, Cara, because what it does, as you say, is that it provides some kind of incentive, you know, for us to kind of do the right thing. And those opportunities, you know, the more we have these conversations, the more we are aware that there are actually the opportunity that lies is not just for me to, you know, just to ensure that I've done the right thing, but also there could be some kind of monetary incentive. And where does Petco fit in that whole ecocycle of stakeholders like myself, you know, thinking I want to be part of this, I want to do the right thing? Where does Petco fit in? What do you facilitate in that whole chain?
So we work with the whole value chain.
Yeah.
We work with government. We work for example, work with municipalities to provide infrastructure. We conduct recycling workshops and workshops with collectors and waste pickers on the ground so that they know how to actually start collecting recyclable material. With consumers, we have various education and awareness initiatives. The last 2 years, we've actually created documentaries, two years consecutively of documentary series for consumers, so that they can follow the journey of a consumer and actually see what happens behind the scenes in the collection and recycling industry in South Africa. So if you go have a look on YouTube, there's one called Message in a Bottle and there's one called Sorted.
Nice. Love that.
And and it basically, it follows Lindy on her journey to actually see what happens in South Africa, because I think a lot of people actually think, oh, you know, if I do this, what actually happens to it? Where does it actually go? Is it worth my time? And here, if you watch these episodes, they're like 3 to 4 minutes each, it actually shows you the impact of your decision and the impact of what actually happens when you separate your recyclable material. So there's different ways that consumers can partake. I, for example, live in Cape Town, and we are quite lucky that some areas have a municipal separation at source program, curbside collection program, where the municipality actually collects, but it's not in the area that I live. I have to take mine to a drop-off site, so I encourage people to search for drop-off sites in your areas. That's not only limited to the Western Cape, it's all over the country. Or you can employ a collection business to come and collect from you. So there are lots of small private collection companies that exist. And if you type in recycling collection, Santon, or wherever, you are quite likely, I don't want to say guaranteed, but quite likely to find an entrepreneurial South African who has hired a bunch of people, got a little site, separate, and is providing income opportunities and livelihoods for people. So it's supporting fellow South Africans as well.
That is beautiful, actually, when you think about it. That is absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it's a, you know, when you start a business are capital intensive. And this is a low, low, low capital business, you know. It does need a lot of moral capital, though. So where exactly in the city of Tshwane are these bins located, Kara?
So they are at the Fountain Valley Resort. So if you visit that resort, then you should be greeted by these large color-coded bins. They are actually made from what we call liquid board cartons, so you know, like what your juice and your custard and your milk comes in, those cartons.
So the bins themselves are recycled.
So they are made using materials. Some of the materials that are used are what we call pre-consumer. So that is materials that have come from a plant. So they haven't actually been to the consumer.
Sure.
But they also use kind of post-consumer waste. So yeah, they are. If you go have a look at them, it almost looks like terrazzo. You know, that like speckly material. If you have a look at an organization called Infinite Industries, they do the processing of that material, and it's actually really beautiful. They also make like planters and gates and school desks, and there's a lot of things that can be made. Yeah, it's quite amazing.
Wow.
And they're also making toilets, actually. Maggie, the owner, has done an incredible job with actually making toilets out of them. So yeah,
that is incredible, Kara. I feel like we should have done you know, we should have done a longer sit down on this one. So let me
to come back.
No, please. Actually, you know what? I love comebacks. I love part twos. Let me ask this question. Are there any opportunities, you know, within the eco cycle of what you do, perhaps even, are there any livers in the value chain, you know, where you are involved, where families, individual families, can then take their own material that they've separated at source. I'm getting clever with the terminology. separated at source, as in source being their homes. Can they then take it to a recycler to create whatever? You know, so if I want a bin that's been created from recyclable material, are the opportunities available there?
Yeah, so I don't think that you can't take it to an actual recycling plant, because the recycling plants will only take, for example, 20 tons, which is, they only take big amounts.
Yeah.
But what you can find comfort in is if you are taking your, you know, separating your recyclables and making sure that it gets to a drop-off site or a buyback center, or that it gets collected by a company, whether it's through a municipality or a private collection company, you can be quite sure that it's going to get somewhere where it is going to be processed into something else. So, for example, as I mentioned with the cartons, they can be turned into roof tiles, they can be turned into hangers, they can be turned into those big pallets in the manufacturing industry, they can be turned into those bins or those desks. And then, like, when it comes to PET, for example, PET plastic, which is like what your cool drink bottles come in, if you have a look and you see that it actually contains recycled content, that means that your bottle that you are drinking out of actually has
been through the mill,
recycled PET in it. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you'd be amazed, you know, if you went, had the privilege of going to a lot of the recycling plants, and it literally is like NASA in there. Like, the standards, the food grade standards that we have here are incredible, and there's often been a stigma against, oh well, I don't want to, you know, use something that has,
I don't want to get into that
in I promise you, the standards are so high, you cannot walk in there without a hairnet and a this and a that, and it's really amazing. You know I think we sometimes think about South Africa and we think, oh, we don't have the same as other countries.
Sure.
And we really, really do. So back to your question, often the products that you are actually using every day
are recycled.
Already have recycled content in them. For example, those like sandwich clam shells have about a 35%, you know, the things that you buy like a takeaway sandwich in, those usually have about 35% recycled content in them already.
Sure.
And from a PET point of view, it's also recycled into polyester, so the inside of the jackets and duvets and car mats, the manufacturing of car parts, mats in cars, also usually has supermarket trolleys, have got other types of recycled plastics in them. I know one of the supermarket trolleys is made from milk bottles. And so it's not often known. But, you know, when you say you want to go buy things, if you wanted to go buy from Infinite Industries, you could. And, you know, supporting retailers that are using recycled content, for example, like Woolies is one of them.
Yeah.
A lot of recycled content.
Look, this is where we have to leave it for today. Part two loading. Ding, 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 ding. Okay. And I'll tell you, with part two, I think I'd like to delve a little bit more, Kara, into the... into our consciousness as a people, you know, and how to perhaps sway social behavior towards understanding the greater good we do when, as individuals, we commit to such projects, you know, because whilst you may be the drivers, but in actual fact, we are the stakeholders that then make the project, you know, successful. So I think I'd like to delve a little bit more on that when we have you back. But right now, before we cross over to the news, my family, 2 after 5 is your time. Kara, where do we contact you, and how do individuals, perhaps even organizations who are interested in mass collecting, where do we get in touch with you?
So a good place to start is our website, which is www.petco.com, www.co.za, and we actually redid our website at the end of last year. Mm. And at the top of the website, you can browse as a producer of packaging, so that could be a brand owner, a retailer, importer, as a consumer of packaging, so that would be us, a collector or recycler, or a member of government. So if you are a consumer and you drink out of things and eat out of things and want to find out how to recycle your packaging,
that's a very clever one.
You can click a consumer of packaging, for example, and it will take you to a place on the site that will explain how, when, why, etc. And if you are a collector or you're wanting to start collecting recyclable materials and make money from them, you can go and click on browse as a collector or recycler. It will show how Petco can support you and grow your business, start your business, or I'd say go have a look on our social media channels as well, which is petco.official on Facebook and Instagram. Go check out our series on YouTube. I think, you know, speaking to what you said about what makes people get involved and how do individuals start these businesses, I think if you watch some of those episodes, you'll be blown away. I know I am every time I watch them, by just how individuals can make such a difference by starting these initiatives in their homes, in their neighborhoods, in their old age homes. It's amazing. It's really inspiring.
Cara, you and I could have this conversation, let me tell you, until we cross over on this program. We absolutely have to rush to the newsroom. It's been absolutely phenomenal having this chat with you, and thank you so much for coming through. Part two definitely loading. All the best with the rest of the work that you do as you go to each and every metro to try and get this work done. Yeah?
Thank you so much. Have a good weekend.
Fantastic. My family, 5 after 5, believe it or not. And Cara Levy joins us from Petco this afternoon. What a conversation. And I'm glad because, you know, it's not just a project, but it's a project that actually is centered around your behavior and my behavior, but also centered around opportunities that you and I can take take advantage of and be a part of. Let's cross over to the news.
From your ear to your heart, to your mouth, to your feet. Join this life on 657 AM.
Do you read the Word for Today daily devotionals? We wish to ensure that your copy reaches you on time. You can now receive the booklet directly at an address of your choice or via email if you prefer. It's easy. Visit radiopulpit.co.za, select your choice, and update your details. Or SMS the word devotional to 37871. You will receive a reply SMS with the options. Alternatively, contact client services on 012-334-1257. Standard rates apply.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion through thick and thin. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.